Southeast Radio's Business Matters with Carl Fitzpatrick.
Well, Lorna Conn's career ambition was to hold a chief financial officer role with a publicly listed company. Having reached this goal with CPL, she exceeded her ambitions by becoming the CEO of the company in 2021. Laura joins us now to discuss the changes which have occurred within one of Ireland's largest private sector employers and their plans for future growth. But Lorna, did you ever harbour any ambition of becoming a CEO?
Lovely to be here with you today, Carl. Honestly, it was never my ambition. My ambition always as a chartered accountant was to be on a publicly listed board of directors, and I had achieved that with CPL when I joined in 2017. But CPL was an organisation that just caught my heart and my imagination in such a profound way. I started to believe that perhaps I could be that person to lead the organisation as CEO, and it was a very natural and organic evolution from CFO into CEO.
CPL was acquired by a Japanese company, Outsourcing Inc., for a reported €318 million. But what was it like to be involved in the takeover of a publicly listed company, and what impact has the takeover had on the organisation?
The entire takeover occurred during COVID. So the due diligence, the engagement with the prospective buyers, the engagement with our advisors on both sides all happened virtually, which was kind of an incredible achievement that we lived through this huge transaction, but we did it in a world which was mostly in lockdown. So the impact, I suppose, once that all completed, once the legal transaction completed, was that we were no longer listed on the Euronext Dublin and the AIMS listing on the London Stock Exchange. And we became a privately owned organisation directly into Outsourcing Inc. So there was practical consequences to that. We stopped being publicly listed and therefore didn't have the financial reporting requirements that came with being a listed entity. And we had to fit into a new leadership style whereby we weren't the top decision makers per se. We had a shareholder now in Outsourcing Inc. who they themselves are similar to us in an organisation in that they are a talent solutions provider. They're also operating internationally but at a much vaster scale. They're in 38 countries worldwide with over 130,000 staff. So we had to reorganise ourselves to fit within their shareholder structure and the requirements they had as a shareholder to run and lead the organisation, which was about, observing their compliance and their approval protocols. But I will say that throughout the transaction, the people we engaged with in Outsourcing Inc. were nothing but hospitable, respectful, really good human beings, and that has been the experience that we have had with OSI from the very first day of the acquisition.
And Lorna, from a learning perspective, what stands out to you about the Japanese way of doing business, and are there any cultural differences that you've had to navigate?
Yeah, so I think there are a culture that relies heavily on trust and reputation. So whilst there is a delegation of authority matrix that we observe, you earn your autonomy through building trust. So there's been a lovely symmetry there in terms of the values that we hold dear and the values that are very important to Japan from a cultural perspective. Clearly, language and translating the Japanese language to English and vice versa can be a barrier at times. So we've had to adapt ourselves to be sure that we engage in the clearest way possible, having regard for the fact that there is that natural language piece that can sometimes impact on clarity and effective communication.
And in terms of scale, how big is CPL today?
So we transact with over 4,000 organisations. We have over 13,000 employees and we operate in 13 countries. So from an Irish perspective, we're clearly a market leader. I believe we are the largest private sector employer in the state. So we have great scale in Ireland, and our next biggest market will be the UK and then Germany.
And how does CPL outcompete its competition?
Well, I think one thing that we are very proud of is the depth of our database. So I think we would have touched almost every single person in some respect of working age over the 34, 35 years tenure of CPL as initially a recruitment agency and now a much broader evolved talent solutions provider. So we have a very deep database of, I think, almost 2,800 candidates. So I think that's a real differentiator for us. Also, we operate across every sector. So we're multi-sectoral and we are right across the entire talent spectrum. So we offer services from specialised recruitment right the way through to managed services, to business process outsourcing, to recruitment process outsourcing. And we're a thought leader in the world of work through our Future of Work Institute, which is headed up by our Chief Strategy Officer, Barry Winkless.
If you've just tuned in, I'm speaking to Lorna Conn, CEO of CPL. Lorna, talk to us about the current priorities for CPL and where the growth opportunities exist for the organisation today.
So our current priorities are growing out the blueprint that we have established so well in Ireland into existing and newer geographies. So our focus is primarily on the UK, in Germany and in adjacent markets across Central Eastern Europe. So as I mentioned previously, we do operate right across the full talent spectrum. So it's taking those different service offerings and doing more of those services across markets outside of Ireland.
And what are the current trends within the recruitment sector? And are you finding that many of your own clients are transitioning their staff back from remote into the office in a hybrid manner at least?
Yeah, well, I mean, we've found consistently from candidates that remote working is an expectation. It's not in any way considered a benefit anymore. And we do feel in the main by clients, hybrid working is an established working practice and a working practice that we expect is going to be here for the longer term.
And in a tight labour market, how important is data and the use of technology by recruitment agencies to gain relevant insights?
I think it's very important and I think organisations are maturing their capability in terms of that reporting piece, both having processes to ensure that good data gets into the system and then having the reporting capabilities to pull that data and assimilate it into meaningful trends. And I think that's certainly something that helps our recruiters market map, I suppose, for an organisation when they're looking to zone in on a particular area or market, or they're looking for a particular candidate profile. I think data is a very powerful tool, I suppose, to bring to the table when you're having client conversations to help inform them what is the best approach to attract the best type of candidate that they're looking for, particularly when we're supporting clients in volume recruitment and you're looking for a large number of people to fill a large number of roles.
Yesterday we celebrated International Women's Day, but what does this day mean to you?
Look, I think it's a nice moment to pause and take stock of how far we've come as individual organisations and as a society, more particularly in Ireland, to celebrate the advancement of women in business. I'd love to get to a point where we don't need an International Women's Day, but clearly we're on a journey to move beyond the legacy of the older, more traditional concept of a woman to the newer, more progressive concept where women can be mothers and can pursue fulfilling careers. And I think every conversation we have around that helps us to shift the dial closer to equality, to a time where there's no differentiation between men and women in the workforce or men and women's caregiving responsibilities on the home front, that it's very much an equal and shared responsibility.
And Lorna, what women have inspired you along your own career journey?
I would say Cinda Arden has really inspired me because she was one of the first leaders on a political stage who was clearly an empath, who clearly led with compassion, and the way in which she led, her leadership style resonated so well with me. And, you know, I think it was a very public message to women everywhere around the world in leadership roles that you can lead very authentically and you can lead with high compassion and still be an extraordinarily effective leader.
And in your opinion, why don't more women hold senior management and executive roles in large organisations?
I think there aren't enough structures and proactive initiatives in place by and large across organisations that promote the advancement of women right the way to the very highest level within an organization. Because if you look at generations today, and I see it in my daughter who's 10 years of age, they're as bright as a button, they're full of character, they're full of energy and optimism and capability about the world around them. And then somehow along the way, possibly aligned with taking time out to have a family and then obviously trying to raise a family, etc., something within that work life, home life balance seems to collide to such a point that the constraints or obstacles seem to be too hard to overcome. And I do feel that organizations have to look at themselves and they have to look at their female pipeline. If you're getting your females to a certain level within an organization and that is not converting right the way through to the C-suite level, then you've got to take ownership that there's something within that organization that is not advocating for women to move to the highest level within an organization. And this is not about doing the right thing for a woman. 50.44% of the population is female. So not having equal representation at the decision-making tables in businesses is simply not good business.
Well, if you've just tuned in, that was Lorna Conn, the CEO of CPL, and Lorna's approach to leadership and growth is both refreshing and inspirational.
Southeast Radio's Business Matters with Carl Fitzpatrick.